Hey, this is Christian from the Liberators. Welcome to another episode of the Liberators Network podcast. In this episode, I will be reading one of our most popular blog posts, which is everything to do with how you might be better off dropping your DTaP pipeline. Now, before diving into this episode, I want to thank three of our new patrons, Kevin Keane, Tabataprix, and Philippe Bourguignon, for their support and donations that they made through patreon.com. If you also like the work that we do, if you read our blog posts or listen to our podcasts or watch our videos or go to our meetups, please consider becoming a patron as well. It's a very small way and simple way for you to contribute to work that we're doing. I'll put the link in the show notes so you can take a look. So let's get started. This podcast is particularly helpful if your team or organization works with what is often called a DTaP pipeline or a DTaP. This is the pipeline where you have a development environment, a testing environment, acceptance environment, and finally a production environment. And the work that you do as a team goes through these environments in order to actually reach the customers at the very end. Now, if you have a pipeline like this, which is very common, I mean, I used to work in organizations where we set up these pipelines as well, you have a great opportunity to improve. Because I strongly believe that pipelines like these, and by that I mean having separate environments for testing and quality assurance, is actually an anti-pattern in an agile environment. And in this episode, I explain the reasoning behind this and also what you can do about it. And that's a strong statement, and I don't say it lightly. But I've just seen and been in too many Scrum teams that struggle with these pipelines. And this struggle manifests in several behaviors and ways that you may also recognize in your team. The first one is something I call Deploy Friday. That's where developments take a considerable effort and teams often postpone deployments to the final day of the sprint. And this becomes increasingly pressing as the number of environments that need to be updated increases. Because deployments rarely go the way you want them to go if you have a lot to deploy and you do it by hand, these Deploy Fridays will end up being very stressful. Even worse, a lot of breaking issues are often discovered in the final day of the sprint, which makes it hard to actually resolve them. The second thing you may recognize is a complicated administration. In an effort to keep track of what features are deployed to which environments, teams resort to all sorts of complicated administration, like a Scrum board with different columns for the different environments. I've actually seen a team with 10 columns, and I'm not exaggerating. Or use tags, label-based administration in a tool like Jira to mark which item is running on which environment. Administration requires time and discipline, and usually administration is not up to date, which causes confusion and mistakes. And a final thing you may also notice is that some items can be moved to another environment because some other item it depends on is still in another stage, in another DTaP stage. And that's all because the batch-wise nature of how data pipelines work encourage teams to see deployments as new versions that encompass a whole bunch of features and items that are deployed in one go to one particular environment. As new features are added to the batch, which is the new version, already tested features have to be retested again to make sure that everything still works. And this obviously takes a lot of time and effort. So taken together, these are some of the behaviors that I often observe when it comes to teams and how to use data pipelines. But why is this an anti-pattern if it's so common? Now, in a data pipeline, features and other items are basically pooling up in one environment until the team feels ready or has the time to deploy it to the next environment, or maybe this is done by other teams. The bigger the pool of items to deploy, the trickier this becomes. Deployment will take more time, a lot has to be configured and tested on a new environment, and there's obviously an increasing chance of bugs and errors. And this creates a vicious cycle where teams postpone deployment in favor of adding more new features and to postpone the inevitable difficulty of deploying everything. So data pipelines encourage the creation of queues. It's that simple. Agile software development, on the other hand, is all about removing queues in how you do your work. Now, why is that important? Because queues cause all sorts of waste, and I'll give you some examples. The first form of waste is that there's a lot of wait time. Features and items that are waiting for deployment to the next environment of a data pipeline are not adding any value until they're actually deployed to production. Until features are available in the production environment, they are essentially a form of inventory waste, as Lean calls it. A second form of waste is that data pipelines require maintenance. You have to maintain the various environments, keep them up to date, and diagnose environment-specific issues as they occur. Sometimes servers in environments go down or have malfunctions that need to be addressed. And the more environments you have, the more you have to maintain. Another waste is cost. DataApp environments are expensive, especially when they mirror production environments, which a good DataApp pipeline should do. It's true that corners are often cut here, using lower-end hardware and simpler or cheaper software. But this means that we're also losing one of the major reasons why you want to have a DataApp pipeline in the first place, to test features in a realistic environment that represents production. Another form of waste is that you'll notice more errors. There's more risk in deploying 50 new items in one batch than only one item at a time, or maybe even a handful. There's more that needs to be configured, deployed, tested, and checked, and there's a lot more room for things to break down. Furthermore, errors will be harder to diagnose as you have deployed more things, so there are more things that could potentially cause problems, and you have to exclude and test all of them. That means that transparency is also lost. There's also a lot of waste in coordination. Because if you have more environments, you have to coordinate more. Teams need to track which features are deployed to which environment. Bugs need to be associated with the environments they happen in. Every environment represents a particular state of the code base, and this has to be tracked somewhere to make sure that customers and stakeholders are seeing the right things and that developers are working in the right environments. Silos are another form of waste, because in a subtle way, data pipelines maintain silo thinking. By separating development and testing into different environments, it's easy to maintain the idea that testing is a separate responsibility from development, and not something that is done by a development team, but maybe by a specialized testing department. And finally, a form of waste is slow feedback. Because in a data pipeline, integrations issues can surface anywhere down the pipeline. This is especially annoying if a lot of time passes between the phases. If a bug is discovered by a customer on acceptance, but this feature was developed 5 sprints ago, teams have to essentially rediscover how the feature was developed in the first place. And what about performance issues that only appear on production with actual data? A lot of time has been wasted getting that feedback. Now, if there are so many problems associated with data pipelines, and there are so many forms of waste happening in them, why are there so many of them? Why are they often seen as a best practice? Now, one reason is that a data pipeline naturally fits well in waterfall environments or organizations that are used to thinking about work in concrete stages. So work starts in development, then moves to testing, then moves to quality assurance, acceptance, and finally into production. But in agile development environments, it doesn't really make sense. The most compelling reason I see for having data pipelines in agile environments is because they can increase the reliability and stability of deployments. When a customer or a key user is testing a new feature in an acceptance environment, it's obviously annoying when the environment breaks down because of changes done by developers. A data pipeline offers a solution for this by creating separate environments that are only updated occasionally, but in a batch-wise fashion. This way we can keep them stable and available so that a particular task can be carried out without disruptions. But are we actually solving the problem there? Or are we just hiding it under the rug? It seems to me that we are fighting the symptoms, not curing the underlying problems. Why is it that our deployments are causing instability? Why are we unable to deploy reliably? Why are changes in the code base breaking our application that often that it actually annoys customers and key users in acceptance environments? Now let's imagine another scenario. Imagine a team that can reliably deploy a single item to a live environment without disrupting it. They develop new items on their local machines and continuously integrate their work through version control. Features are developed on a develop branch, and when a feature is done, it is committed to a master branch in their version control system. This is a signal for the build server to pick up the commit, to build the entire codebase from scratch, and run all the automated tests it can find. When none of the tests break, the build is packaged and readied for deployment. A deployment server picks up the package, connects to the web server or the farm of web servers, creates a snapshot for rapid rollback, and runs the deployment. The web farm is updated one server at a time. If a problem occurs somewhere down the road, the entire deployment is halted and rolled back if necessary. The deployment takes place in such a manner that active users don't experience disruptions. After deployment, a number of automated smoke tests are run to verify that critical components are still functioning and performing as expected. Various telemetry sensors monitor the application throughout the deployment to notify the team as soon as something breaks down. Now, it's easy to listen to this podcast and the argument that I'm making and have all sorts of questions and criticisms. So just to make sure that you're getting my point, here's what I'm specifically not saying. The first thing is that I'm not saying that DATAP is always a bad thing. DATAP can serve a purpose, sure, but it needs to be aggressively automated and optimized to reduce queues from forming. And so does the process of pushing items through this pipeline as quickly as possible. But both rarely happen, so I think we should explore alternative approaches, and there are quite some out there. I'm also not saying that from now on you don't need to test or do acceptance testing anymore. Absolutely not. Testing is incredibly important. Although these activities are very important and should be automated wherever possible, I still don't believe you need to have a different dedicated environment for them. That's my point. Having those separate environments promotes the creation of queues and silos, and you don't want that because it slows you down. And finally, I'm not saying that from now on it's just coding on production. Because if that's what you took from this podcast, I suggest you listen to it again. Deploying well-tested features to production through a well-oiled automated deployment process is entirely different than logging into your production server with FTP and copy-pasting some code. That's not a good way to create a high-quality product that makes your stakeholders and customers happy. Now, suppose that you're listening to this and you wholeheartedly agree. This is a great thing, but where do you start? I can imagine that this feels like a daunting task. Thankfully, we have a lot of tools, frameworks, and concepts that can help us move to a pipeline that doesn't have all these environments, but where you have maybe just a development environment and a production environment. Although there will be effort involved in moving towards a simpler deployment pipeline, imagine how much time, effort, and money you'll save by not having to maintain all those environments. So I'm going to give you some of the tips that might help, some of the things that I've found helpful and that other teams have found helpful, but there's definitely more out there. Now the first tip is to work towards independent items. Work towards creating independent items that can be deployed in isolation from other items. And a skill that Scrum teams have to learn is to break down work into small items that can be deployed into production individually. And that's a good skill to have anyways if you want to work in an agile manner. So I've written a blog post to give you some strategies on how to do this. I'll make sure to add the link to the show notes. Another tip is to use feature toggles. Feature toggles are a way to make features and items invisible on the production environment until they are okayed or sufficiently tested. This is also how a company like Spotify releases even incomplete features. Now, this might seem counterintuitive, but it is the fastest and best way to learn if a feature continues to work with the existing code base and on the most realistic environment you have, which is your production environment. Another tip is to automate testing and deployment. That's an obvious one, of course. You can't reliably test and deploy new items if you have to do it all by hand. Automation is the key if you want to move towards the agile alternative. So start building up a solid battery of automated tests. And what can help here is the testing pyramid. A lot of unit tests have some integration tests and maybe a few UI tests. Also, work towards including performance and security tests into doing that. And automate your deployments and potential rollbacks with platforms like CircleCI, AppFayer, AppHarbor, Azure, whatever is available. Another tip is to use branching in your version control system to keep things transparent. The simpler, the better. Use a develop branch for features that are under development and a master branch for features that are running on production. If you use feature branches, limit their use and merge them back into master at least before the end of the sprint. Otherwise, you lose transparency again. This way, your version control system can tell you exactly where features are, If there's a bug in your production environment, you can check out the master branch to fix it, for example. Another tip is something called green-blue deployments. Now, in this case, you're basically dealing with two production environments for your product or the microservice or the part of your product that you're deploying, but one of them is active and one of them is passive. Now, if you deploy to production, it's initially deployed to the passive environment, the one that is not active at the moment. When all the tests pass and everything is okay, the passive and active environments switch around automatically. The great thing about blue-green deployments is that you can easily roll back your deployment by switching back to the previously active environment that has now become passive. So this is a really good way to make it safer and easier to deploy directly to production. Another tip is to create an early warning system. Wrap your production environment in a net of sensors that monitor the health of your platform. You can monitor uptime, security, how many people are visiting, the rate of errors that are happening in your application. All these things tell you something about how healthy your platform is. And make sure to receive those notifications as early and as visibly as possible so you can quickly respond to them. And finally, make use of containers. Containerization with tools like Docker and Kubernetes have made it much easier to automate deployments and to reduce the impact of errors. Containerized applications can be quickly replaced with other versions or taken offline or duplicated to increase capacity. Let's move to some closing words. In this episode, I made the argument that data pipelines are a source of avoidable waste. That's a hard message. But in agile environments where we need to respond more quickly and deliver value faster, we do well to explore alternatives that remove the need for data and improve reliability and quality. Thankfully, there are many approaches and technologies available, and an increasing number of teams have good experience with this. I hope that some of the tips I gave in this episode are helpful in your journey towards achieving this too. Let me know in the comments how it went and what problems you ran into and also what your success stories are. Good luck! And with that, we've reached the end of this episode. I hope you liked listening to it. If you did, please give it a thumbs up or like it on whatever platform you're listening on. And please consider becoming a patron to support more podcasts, more blog posts, and more videos. Thank you for listening, and I wish you a very wonderful day, and I hope to see you again next time.